Blog Talk Radio.
...of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister and Supreme Captain of Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the elite fruit of...
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
I hope pearly white teeth fall off the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Drew Merchant will give away monster balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads. And straightened heads are going to be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
Black power, black power, black power, and more black power than my people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm happy to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. And this is a privilege. It's a joy. It's an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. Radio broadcast designed to wake you up and to shake you up and to stand you up and to put you back on the square. As the Masons say, a standing, living perpendicular, perpendicular on the square, knowing that our people had lost knowledge itself. We had lost our culture. We had been stripped of our names. Our original languages were lost from us. The mother tongues lost from us. We had been utterly destroyed as a people through a blip in time called the transatlantic slave trade, a historical atrocity that to this day has not been corrected, has not been fixed, and has not been repaired. And so you have brothers and sisters, men and women who are on the front lines, who have taken the what we call the vanguard position over many years to push the issue forward so that you don't go back to sleep, so that you don't think that just because you have a black face in a high place that there's nothing to fight for, so that you don't think that just because you have some money, some material wealth or some riches that there's nothing to fight for, so that you don't think that just because you have a little job here or that you ride a little nice or that you're doing a little better than the next man or next woman that you have nothing to struggle for. We all have something to struggle for, and we must struggle for self-determination or what we talk about as Kuji Chagalia. We must talk about having land of our own, territory of our own. We must talk about controlling our own politics. We must talk about controlling our own spiritualities. We must talk about reclaiming our cultures. We must talk about protecting our children, protecting our babies. We must talk about honoring and protecting our elders, respecting our women, elevating the women. We must talk about raising a nation. So we must, as black people in North America, talk about black nationalism. And as indigenous people, we must talk about indigenous liberation. You're on Black Power Radio. And we say black power to black people. We say third world power to third world people. We say red power to red people. We say melanated power to all melanated people. We're here with you live. 10:30 Eastern Time, right here on the dial. And you know how we do every Monday night. We give you the straight, no chaser. We don't put no cut in it. I know some of you had your experiences in the bars and in the clubs, and you would go to that bartender and ask for that drink. And, you know, the bartender would do their best mostly to water that drink down. And you couldn't get that full hit. You couldn't get that full sip. You couldn't get that full feeling because it was watered down. Well, we're not going to give you nothing watered down tonight. This will be the truth, unmixed, undiluted, and untapped with any form. A pure drink that will make you strong and make you bold and make our people stop being a tool and a coon and a fool for our oppressors, our open enemies, and those who have painted us to be anything less or everything less than intelligent in the great men and women that we are. So we thank the greats before us, the mothers and fathers of civilization. We give thanks to the great creator who answers to many different names. And we bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, there is only but one God. We bear witness in the masculine and the feminine expression, giving thanks for our creation, giving thanks for the Mother Earth and the home that we rest on called the Mother Earth, and giving thanks to the land and the fruits and the substance and the waters and the trees and everything that we use. We give thanks that it's still here and that we are still here, and that all that we have gone through, all that our people have faced, and all that we have suffered, and all that we continue to suffer here in North America and elsewhere, that we are still the strongest people to ever exist, that we, as the Black Power generals say, we don't die, we multiply. I know that J. Edgar Hoover, old cross-dressing J. Edgar Hoover, believed that he had destroyed some Panthers. I know he thought that he had destroyed black nationalism and attacked Marcus Garvey in the UNIA. I know that he had thought he had destroyed some peace, and he had destroyed some Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan and Malcolm X. And I know he thought he had destroyed the Prophet Noble Drew Ali's and all. I know they thought they destroyed the great movements, but you're wrong. We're still here, and we're stronger and bolder than ever on the front lines, in your face, connected with the people, not isolated. We're live, representing the wants, needs, and aspirations of our people who must go free. You say, free from what? We've been emancipated. Some of you say, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. I say, you just haven't learned enough about history yet. You have not learned enough of the truth yet, if you believe Abraham Lincoln put you to some freedom. We must have some real freedom. We must control our destiny. So the Panther lives, but the Panther has been through some turmoil. The Panther has been through some battle. Matter of fact, there are Panthers right now that are locked down as we're talking right now on Black Power Radio. Some brothers and sisters in the hole right now, in the hole and going through the struggle, locked down in the concentration camps of America. Other brothers and sisters in exile right now, in different parts of the world, can't return to North America to be with the family that they grew up with here. Others in exile, and some are alone in exile because a no good demon and devils chase after them like the old slave catchers of yesterday. and want to capture those and bring them back to what they call justice, which we know is nothing more than concentration camps and warehousing facilities. And so the Panther has been through a lot. The Panther has been through a lot, but the Panther has survived. And our guest who will be on with us in a few moments is another one of those examples that has survived, a black man who has survived assassination plots and attempts. He has survived setups and frame-ups. He has survived the concentration camps, the prison camps of America. He has survived backstabbing agents and tools. He has survived as the Panther has survived. And as our people have survived, he has survived. We'll be talking to the chairman of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, the president and chairman of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. And for those of you who may not know who he is, just in case that you don't, he is the son of a bold black man and a bold black woman, a bold black man who worked in the early days in the NAACP, back when he was able to move a few things. And they wasn't running around trying to give Donald Sterling some awards and all that. He was an activist and a brother who was a committed revolutionary, a warrior who understood the benefits of cooperative revolutionary politics and cooperative economics and the cooperative revolutionary nationalism. He understood the value of the street tribes and what they call the gangs today. A black man who, even though Jesse Jackson likes to take the credit, and we can give him some credit, it was Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. who initiated those first, what they call rainbow coalitions. Oh, Jesse, it was not you, sir. We can't give you all that credit, Brother Jesse. We can't give you all that credit. We can give you some credit, but we have to give the credit to a black man who was out there in them streets and who was working amongst those who they call the lumpen proletariat, the poor people, the poor class, the underserved. He was a man who was out there feeding children. They tried to set him up on a framed-up, trumped-up ice cream truck robbery, out there feeding the children. Another black man who went through the concentration camps and did a little time and came back out bold and stronger than others. This man is the son of Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., Deputy Chairman of the Chicago, Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, the OG Gar. He is the son of a warrior comrade who was right there by that chairman's side, a warrior comrade, or as he called it, a comrade mother, who was right there by his side when the pigs came in after no good bastard by the name of William O'Neill gave the floor plans to the pigs to assassinate the great honorable chairman, Fred Hampton Sr., that she was there as they burst in. But before that, she was there struggling in the cause in the Black Panther Party. She was there organizing on the streets and organizing on the block and organizing for the movement. And so she was there in December 4th of 1969 when the pigs stormed through the door, not to, as they lie today and say they're going to serve a warrant, or not to come in and do what their duty was. They came in on a kill mission, an assassination mission, and they came in with guns blazing, guns firing, guns drawn. They came in with an intent to put down the spirit of the Black Panther Party in Chicago, Illinois, and really throughout North America. J. Edgar Hoover had declared that the Children to Breakfast, the Children for Breakfast program, Breakfast for Children's program, was the most internally threatening policy and program of the Black Panther Party in the United States of America. J. Edgar Hoover and his FBI had determined that just because these brothers and sisters, these comrades, had the audacity to struggle, the dare to struggle, and the dare to win, that the dare to feed our babies, who the government was not feeding, the state wasn't feeding, and feed the poor, that they determined that that was an internal threat to the national security of the United States of America. And so from that principle, they attacked all Panther officers. There was an all-out assault on Panther officers from the West Coast to the East Coast to the Midwest down to the South. Sometimes in the movies and in the media, they try to paint it like the Panthers were the aggressor. But I'm here to tell you, the Panthers are not, and we are not, the aggressor in deed or in action. But that if any time that we are attacked, we will defend ourselves, as Minister Malcolm X taught, by any means necessary. And so when they came through with guns blazing in the quiet of the early morning, it was a brave deputy defense minister named Mark Clark who was able to fire off a shot and at least try to kill one of them bastards that came in to kill the Panthers. But they came in and was shooting and shooting and shooting, and they ultimately shot up assassinated Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., and right next to him in the bed was his warrior queen and comrade, now formerly known as Sister Deborah Johnson, now known as Sister Comrade Akua Njeri, Sister Njeri. And this warrior who's going to come on the line is the son of that bloodline. And he himself set up on a trumped-up charge, dealing with some kind of Korean grocery store or something crazy to that effect. I'll let him tell you about it. But he was trumped up on and moved on because he was out there carrying on in the spirit of his father and carrying on in the spirit of the Panther legacy. He has been out there on the front lines, getting at the heads and the necks of the P. Diddy Combs, or Sean Combs. He's been out there getting at the heads and the necks of Jay-Z, or who we call Slave Z. He's been getting at the heads and the necks of the Toms or the coons in the industry, and he's also been very active in putting the revolutionary ideology in the minds and hearts of those who would talk to you and those who would influence you and those who would reach our babies. He has been very influential. And so that's the kind of man who we will introduce to some. Others we will reintroduce you to. As all of us out here who carry this Panther banner, we know that we have a duty to our people. And we know that we have to struggle as our brothers and sisters in the East, in Azania say, and in other parts of Africa, what they say is they say a luta continua, which means the struggle continues. As long as we are not free in name, deed, and action, and thought, as long as we are not on our own doing what we need to do as a people, as long as we are on the breast of white America and the government and handouts and different things of this nature, as long as we are dependent on our former slave masters and the oppressor and the pigs, we have to fight and we have to struggle, and our people have to get ourselves out this condition and go for self. And so the Panther has a job. Not only did we have a job in the 60s, as many of you know about the formations that came from the Honorable Kwame Ture in Lowndes County, Alabama, and the Lowndes County Freedom Organization, that Black Panther Party that started in Alabama. Others of you are maybe less familiar about the Northern California chapter. Some of you maybe seen a glimpse or two of them up in the Panther movie, and you saw them get into it with the characters of Huey Newton and Minister of Defense Huey Newton and Chairman Bobby Seale and the other comrades. Some of you seen that. But there were many Panthers. There were many Panther formations, at least four or five total Panther formations that were there, that had been there before 1966. But we give thanks to them brothers and sisters who formed in Oakland, California in 1966, who determined that they would exercise the 10-point program that came up from Garvey, that came through the Nation of Islam, that came and was developed by them brothers and sisters there. And they put it to the people in a term of land, bread, clothing, housing, justice, and peace. And they pushed the state forces or the repressive forces of the United States government to deal equally or to deal and mete out justice to black people in the same fashion that it meted out justice and gave justice to other people. I'm talking about Minister of Defense Huey P. Newton and Chairman Bobby Seale. I'm talking about that great warrior soldier and the first recognized member, male member of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense out of Oakland, Little Bobby Hutton. I'm talking about the Forte brothers, Reggie and Sherman Forte, and those original brothers who started there in Oakland, California. We give thanks to them and their stance of self-defense, even though later they would take the self-defense off of the Black Panther, and they would stop using Black Panther Party for self-defense and kept it strictly political with just Black Panther Party. We are thankful that they developed that first formation of self-defense. And if there's anything that I can tell you in 2014, with the advents of Donald Sterling's and the advents of George Zimmerman's and the advents of Michael Dunn's and the advents of institutionalized racism, not just overt racist who come out and tell you to your face and to your jaw that they don't like you and they hate you because of the color of your skin, but I'm talking about institutionalized racist and racism that is practiced on our people through the courts, that is practiced on our people in the prison industrial complex, that is practiced on our people in mainstream corporate America, that is practiced on our people in the stock exchange, that is practiced on our people in the NBA and the NBA draft, practiced on our people in the NFL and the NFL draft. We're talking about those who practice prejudice plus power against us in every level of society. And so we give thanks for their example, and we tell you in 2014 that the new Black Panther Party has a tradition and a pledge to continue the same revolutionary stance of self-defense and freedom and justice for black people and oppressed people the world over. We have continued and will continue in the best manner to push for our people, to put our people on top of civilization and back to our rightful places on the planet Earth as the mothers and fathers of civilization, to govern this planet in a right manner as it has been governed by some grafted devils who have grafted the truth, who have grafted the laws of Maat and the balance of the world. They have grafted it to something wicked and evil. Now some of you running around calling it the Illuminati and different kinds of titles, but it's even bigger than that. It's globalized white supremacy, and it's globalized colonialism. It's globalized imperialism. It's globalized even in blackface, where you have black faces and brown faces and red faces and yellow faces that have determined to do the bidding of our oppressor at any expense, the bidding of our oppressor, even at the expense and death and destruction of our own people. And so we have a major fight on our hands. We have a global fight on our hands as a people that we cannot let up on at any stretch of the imagination. You can't get caught up on reality television and think that because you're watching reality TV that that's really what it is. You can't think that because you're seeing the diamonds and the Ferraris and the Rolls Royces on the videos that that's really how people are living. Only a small select few are living like that. The rest of us out here are struggling. Most of us, paycheck to paycheck, dollar to dollar, pillar to post, some of you. Some of us out here don't know where our next meal is going to come from. And so you have to keep it real in North America. And you got to be real with yourself. You got to be real in North America. And you got to be real with yourself that your reality is not the reality of the 10% of this nation. Your reality is not the reality of the rich ruling elite of this nation. Your reality is a reality that if you do not struggle for some real acquisition, some real resource, some real economic justice, if you don't struggle to get what's yours and to fight for what's yours and to fight for what your babies should have in the future, your children in the future, and secure a place for your children in the future, then you're dead already. You're a walking carcass. You're a walking, living carcass with a heartbeat, but you're dead on the inside because you cannot see things for what it is. And so that's the importance of what we're doing tonight as we intend to wake up our people by the tens of thousands into the millions. And I know some of you naysayers say that it cannot be done. I know that some of you look at the conditions of our neighborhoods. You look at the decrepit conditions of our society, and you say it cannot be done. This sleeping giant cannot be awakened. Some of you say that the black man and black woman in particular cannot be saved. You say that indigenous people cannot be saved and cannot be unified. You believe that those of us who are on the bottom right now would never be on the top. And I'm here to tell you, that's just what the people of yesterday thought. And you read the histories of yesterdays, of the empires of yesterday, whether it be the empires of ancient Kemet, Nubia, Kush, and others, whenever they came underneath taskmasters and others, they came underneath brutal oppression, and they believed for a time because the oppression was so intense and so hot and so wicked that they could not ever come out from underneath the brutal yoke of the taskmasters. But there was always some revolutionaries in the mix. There was always some revolutionaries among them who would not let the people be duped. There were always revolutionaries who would not let you close your eyes and go to sleep and go to a death unaware of what's truly happening. And we would not let you sit there comfortable in your sofa, on your couch, in your car, in your house, in your college campus, in your schools, on your job, or anywhere that you are. We would not let you be comfortable knowing what this beast has planned for you. And what this beast has planned for us, there's no way that a revolutionary, a true revolutionary, a true change agent, a true man or woman who really wants to see the society transformed for the better, there's no way that we can see the condition of our people, knowing that most of them are silently asleep and in a slumber. There is no way that we cannot sound the alarm. And so this is a sound to alarm on Black Power Radio. We're calling you to alarm, saying that yes, we understand that President Barack Obama has been elected and has been in office for quite some time now. We recognize that he is a black face in a high place. We recognize the joy that has been put in many of your hearts because you have waited your whole life to finally see the succession of white faces in the White House broken by a black man. We understand that, but we want you to understand that colonialism or domination of a people normally always comes through that very people. There could not have been a successful transatlantic slave trade were it not for some greedy, no good, stingy Africans over there on the mother continent who sold our people out. You would not have had a red man and red woman who were betrayed in many different instances were it not for some no good, greedy, bastard red men and red women who betrayed the true revolutionaries. You would not have had many brown men and brown women locked down and in prison were it not for some traitorous brown man and brown woman, Chicano family, among that people. And so whenever we're talking domination, you will always have those from among that people who are used to be gatekeepers, who are used to be watchdogs, who are used to be the sheep herders from among that very people. That's why it takes soldiers and warriors from that same people to awaken the people. It takes for you to come from the same condition that that people suffer from, so that you can understand the condition that they in and the condition that they come from. It takes for you to have to go from pillar to post and paycheck to paycheck to understand that black man or that black woman or that man or woman on that bench sleeping in the park. It takes for you to understand having to scrape and scratch some time for your next meal to understand what a hungry belly feels like and why a Black Panther Party had to institute a Breakfast for Children's program, which had now been co-opted by the federal government and called the WIC program that you get now through federal resources. That was a staple part of the Black Panther program of yesterday, the Women, Infant, and Children's program was a staple part of the Black Panther Party. And so every time the Panthers would rise up to answer the needs of the people, then you would have the state that would make it a federal program because they did not want the Panthers to gain traction and to gain influence from the people. And so, brothers and sisters, you got to understand, we are in that time now where the black man and black woman has slipped a little bit. We have lost two generations since Reaganomics and the advent of the war on drugs, which was really a war on black people. The war on drugs, which is a war on brown people. The war on drugs, which is a war on red people. That cocaine, that crack was not supposed to really spill into their community like that. And so now that it's spilt over in their community, they hand out indiscriminate sentences. And they, even if you are caught with the same offense that they're caught with, they will give you as a black man or a red man or a brown man more time than they give their own Caucasian counterparts, even if it's the same criminal offense. That's why our black power general, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, called it the criminal justice system. He called it the criminal justice system, and you got to start calling it that. You can't just call it the criminal justice system. You got to call it the criminal justice system. Why the extra criminal, Brother Chief of Staff? It is the extra criminal because it is a judicial system that is run by criminals. I'm here to tell you, every single law that is on the penal code book, every single law that our comrades are locked down for right now on trumped up charges, every single law that is on the books that they will pull you over for, put you in jail for, they broke in the establishment and the colonization process of building America. Every single law that you can think of, America was founded on criminality, and America was founded by some criminals. The founding fathers of America were criminals. George Washington and the rest of them were criminals from England, and the English had emptied out their jails and banished them to this side to get away from them. They were criminals. And so it is the criminal just us system. The judges are exercising criminality. The police, you can clearly see, are exercising criminality. The prosecutors, the district attorneys, the court-appointed attorneys, they're exercising on criminal basis. And so you want to know why we must have complete constructive change? It is because the entire system that you're governed under, that comes out of the policy halls of Congress and other areas in D.C. and other places, it is criminal. We must have complete constructive change in America, and for black people in specific, because we are in the worst condition. That's not to put down any other people, as we prepare to hear from our guest and our chairman. That's not to put down any other people, but there are no other people who have lost their original names like us and their original cultures, and they don't have a language. We as a people barely have points of references of our original history, because our history was destroyed in slavery. Our mental history was destroyed in slavery. Our communitary history was destroyed in slavery. And so if it were not for what they call the Sphinx, and if it were not for the Olmec heads that were found in Mexico and found in early Americas, if it were not for the great pyramid builders, if it were not for the great papyrus and manuscripts and the great Medu Natures and stuff that we had left behind, were it not for our ancestors leaving us clues as to who we really were, we would not know who in the hell we was in the hells and smells of North America. And that is our condition. Our people do not know who they are. They have no idea. The only positive frame of reference they have is what they see on television and what they hear on the radio. And so that is why you want to know why there's so much crime and criminality in your neighborhood. It is because the country is being ran by criminals. It is being run by criminals. And so criminals can only produce another criminal. As the old saying goes, birds of a feather flocks together. And so you have warehousing complexes that they call prisons, that they put you in there to build up for Disney and build up for Walmart and build up for other corporations. It is slave labor. You're put in there as a slave, and you're made to do slave labor for cheap wages. Why? Because criminals understand criminality. It is not a reformatory. Stop using that type of language. It's nothing reformatory about it. They're concentration camps. They're warehousing complexes. It's the prison industrial complex put over you by criminals that govern the country. I know that frightens some of you. Some of you are scared to even talk about it. You're scared to even think like that. You're scared to even mention that those who make the policies and those who make the laws and those who govern the direction of this nation are involved in criminality. But I have to take you back and ask you, how did crack cocaine get in the black community? How did the influx of drugs get in the community? How did the tuition get in the community? As Minister Malcolm X would teach, that alcohol seal that you break when you open the alcohol bottle, that's a government seal that you're breaking. If you're smoking a pack of cigarettes, or as you say, a square, if you're smoking a square, when you break the sealing on that, or the wrapping on that cigarette carton or that cigarette package, that's a government seal that you're breaking. They are so bold as to put on the side of it, Surgeon General's warning. Well, who is the Surgeon General? The Surgeon General is an agent, a worker for the government, and so it is a government seal. The criminality that is in America is endorsed by the very government that you are under right now. And so when we're talking about complete constructive change and talking about revolution, we are talking about a territory of our own, and we're talking about control of our own. We're talking about land of our own. We're talking about our own things, brothers and sisters. That's what we're talking about. So you got to understand this Panther, and you got to understand a man like Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. You got to listen to the stories that he's going to tell you, and listen to the history that he'll break down to you, because this is no lightweight brother. And when you have to bear the weight and responsibility of being the son of such a great warrior, that is an extra added stress. That's extra added stress that can be placed on your life. This man has probably lived 2 and 3 times over already, and he's still a young man, just in his 40s. Probably lived 2 and 3 times over already. But I'm saying, when you have to bear that kind of responsibility and bear that kind of weight and bear that kind of struggle, it makes you live faster than what you would normally live. He has to, and we have to. As soldiers, we got to take certain precautions with our lives. We can't just, for the new Black Panther Party listening out there and revolutionary forces out there listening, you can't just be willy-nilly with your life, walking around any kind of way as if you just some average Joe or Josephina on the block in the neighborhood, you know, at the park. You can't live like that. You have to take precaution with your life. You have to be careful, not only from the state, but you got to be careful of jealous-hearted people from amongst you who would seek to do you harm if they could. You have to be careful of those who would seek to silence the message in your mind and the message in your heart and the message in your spirit. You have to be careful not to give the enemy an opening to shut down your movement by dealing in what is called nigger mess, and what the Black Power General termed Negro stuff. He called it Negro stuff. You got to be careful not to get too knee-deep in Negro stuff, that you snuff out the important principles of your movement and don't get down to business, which is saving our people. That's why so many of our cities and so many of our people are going to hell in a handbasket, because we're so knee-deep in foolishness that many of us are not focused on the real situations. And so we are prepared to hear from our chairman, who is crisscrossing the country and moving. And I know that many of you are joining us from the first hour, where the first half we heard from the great platinum super singer and songwriter Life Jennings. And we know that we was able to get into some pretty serious political discussion. And so we got to keep the fire going. And you know that when you're on this line, I want to tell you, when you're on this line and listening on these Monday nights, that you will not be cut short from your revolutionary political education. And we will continue, no matter who it is in the hills of North America or anywhere in the world. We will continue to ask the pertinent questions as it relates to our liberation and our people and salvation, and we will continue to hold the line as taught by the Black Power General and awaken our people's consciousness. I want to go ahead and go to the phone lines. The number tonight will be 646-478-4447. Again, that's 646-478-4447. I'll take a first call here tonight as we await our national chairman. And Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Will go to area code 805-235. Again, that's 805-235. Welcome, you're on live, Black Power. Caller 805-235, you're on live. Welcome, Black Power. Question or comment? All right, may just be listening. Next caller here, area code 347-406. 347-406, you're on live with Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, please. Welcome to Black Power.
Black Power, National Chief of Staff, Sean Clawley. How you doing, brother?
Black Power, I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm great. The Brother Supreme from New York.
All right, Mr.
Well, I'm just listening, and I'm just waiting on to hear from the great chairman. And, you know, hear what he has to say, and, you know, the Fred Hampton Jr., right? Is that who's coming on, Fred Hampton Jr.?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Black Power. Yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm just trying to get my thoughts together.
Okay.
I'm just absorbing what you were just saying. You know, you when you speak, I listen. You know, it's like it's a learning experience for me. So, you know, you have a lot of information that our people should actually absorb and listen to. You know, because it's very hard to find brothers and sisters that have this intelligence. You know, it's like you say, our people are walking zombies right now. So it's like, it's a matter of like, we should, you know, more of our people should be in tune with this radio station, because it's a lot of awareness on this energy, you know, on this channel, you know what I'm saying? So,
that's right.
You know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just listening right now, and I'm just waiting for Fred Hampton Jr. to come on. But, now I'm trying to, right now in New York, we're trying to get it back together, because there's been so much turmoil in New York right now. So right now I'm dealing with Sister Chrissy, and we're trying to work it together and see if we can, you know, recruit and get it back on top, because right now, you know, it's a lot going on in New York. There's been a lot of, you know, different suspensions and this and that and this and that going on. So, you know, like, we're trying to get, we're going to recruit and get it back together. So that's right now, that's basically right now what we're dealing with, New York. So
that's
okay,
good.
That's
good. I mean, that's a part of the process. You know, there's an old saying that says steel sharpens steel. You know, men and women sharpen men and women like steel sharpens steel. And so, you know, that is a part of the process. Nothing that we do will come easy, and nothing that we do will start out with maximum success. It has to be worked at. That's whether you're talking business, whether you're talking education or what have you. Everything in life normally starts small. And so, you know, if it's just a handful of you brothers and sisters that believe and that are dedicated and are willing to put in the work and be relevant to our people, you'll grow like wildfire. But if we're not, we're not addressing the needs of the people, and if the people can't feel connected to our movement, then there's no reason for them to join on to what we're doing. And so we have to be cautious and careful, and we have to examine how effective what we're doing is in our cities. We got to look at our tactics and make sure that our tactics are in line with the needs of the people. And so that's going to take some observation. It's going to take some reconnaissance. It's going to take some information. It's going to take some communication. You know, it's going to take some networking on the ground to find out what the people, what black people in your area need in specific. And once you understand and have a good, firm grip on what the people need in the area, then you're able to go to work for the people. And once you go to work for the people will support you because they know that you're working for them. And it's
yes,
just
sir.
As simple as that.
Yes, sir. Okay, Black Power.
Black Power. And that's, you know, that's a lesson to everybody out there that it doesn't mean anything just to call yourself by a name or you know, just say that you're a Panther. That doesn't mean anything. Just saying that you're a Panther in whatever formation means nothing to anybody unless you're answering the needs of the people that you're there to serve. You know, and so I want to, you know, caution us in every city in America, and everybody who's under my charge, to make sure that you're answering the needs and that we are answering the needs of our people and that we are, number one, concerned about what the needs of our people are. We're servants. You know, a revolutionary is a servant to the people. And so, you know, if the people are saying that they need food, for example, it doesn't do any good to start talking about, you know, getting them luxury cars. That's not the need. They need food. We have to answer what our people need. And I know off the bat, our people definitely need a response, violence amongst our own, and criminal behaviors inherited amongst our own people. We definitely need that, like we need running water and water to drink. And so, you know, the new Black Panther Party must stay on the battlefield and stay in a relevant posture to the people, answer the needs of your people in your particular city, and then you'll find yourself being effective, and you'll find people that want that you won't be searching them out to join or to register with your organization or the organization. They'll be seeking you out to register with the organization because most of all of us want answers to these issues. There is very few black men and women that you'll find that don't want to answer these issues in the community. I don't care what class background they got or what condition you find them in. Most of us want out of this raggedy condition we find our people in. And so if they see us dedicated, sincere, not fronting, not posing, not after no fame, no fortune, no glory, not after no camera time or none of that, but if they see you sincere and sincerely doing the work and sincerely dedicated to establishing that 10-point program that you say is for our people's benefit, the people will support you in droves. It's very hard to argue with the program talking about land, bread, clothing, housing, peace, justice, and security. Very hard to argue with that. We'll take the next caller here. Your area code is 678-670. 678-670. You're on live with Black Power Radio, Sean Saddam Kweli. We're preparing to hear from Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and our national chairman. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, Black Power.
Hey, brother, I gotta give it up to you, brother. You was teaching real hard, man. I thought I was listening to Minister Farrakhan for a while, brother. You was going so hard, brother. I gotta give it up to you, man. We need to give you an award or something, but on a serious,
I appreciate that.
Hey, man, number love there, brother. But on a serious note, brother, I just want to thank the new Black Panther Party for all you do, brother, to know that the party is not obsolete, that the party is in more need, because I was just out on Sampson Road here in Atlanta, Georgia, brother, you know, gun trafficking and all type of stuff going on. But as long as we out there on the people and they know it's a black man and a black woman standing up upright on the square doing something for the black nation, it's all love. And another point I would like to address is something I can concoct in my mind was we need to have a national summit concerning that separate state of territory. We can no longer go without it. This white man is killing us. And I thank God for Dollar Sterling because it's waking black people up and saying that this is no post-racial America. The only way this can be a post-racial America is one of us comes in danger or is no longer here. So I think we need to have some type of national summit with all the black revolutionary organizations concerning this point of the land and territory, and particularly one group in particular that does this heavily, the Republic of New Africa, concerning the five southern states in which they demand or whatever. But if we properly organize, but the best thing we can do, like you say, meet the needs of the people. Like, you know, I recommend that everybody support Muhammad's economic blueprint. Don't get caught off with the name Muhammad. You just got to get credit where credit is due. So you support the economic blueprint that goes to farmland and show you some of the other things we're doing in conjunction with different organizations. And I'm sure we're working with the new Black Panther Party on different things or whatever. But that's all I wanted to say, and I just want to give respect to the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, Ashim Mazinga. Make sure you get the revolutionary love to the brother from the Nation of Islam, Minister Louis Farrakhan, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, brother. And we certainly appreciate you and appreciate what you're saying, brother, because it's timely. And again, anybody out there, you know, that is on that idea of land and territory of our own, we must unite on that principle. Republic of New Africa, Nation of Islam, New Black Panther Party, whoever, so on and so forth. We have to come together on that. I know that our comrades in Azania, South Africa, and in Zimbabwe are very heavy on that and very serious about that. The last time that we were there in Zimbabwe, you know, we were had some talks and negotiations concerning land, and they were informing us about some very influential brothers over there who have land and are interested in giving land, turning over land to the black man and black woman here in North America, you know. And so we must do that, my brother. And I agree with you. We got to get more serious about it, because as it stands now, as long as we don't control our own territories, then we will continue to receive whatever comes from being integrated into this society. And so, brother, I agree with you 100%. And I just think that it's something that we're going to have to make happen, you know, just without the words. We just got to make it happen.
Yes, sir, my brother. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you too, brother. And please return those greetings to Honorable Minister Farrakhan and the mighty Nation of Islam. And brothers and sisters, that is something serious. I mean, we have to get serious about land of our own. And again, for all of you who, you know, whether you, if you follow the teachings of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey or the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the teachings of Minister Malcolm X or whoever, all of them were very keen on land, and they all told you that, you know, the basis of any revolution is for land. And hell, even the early Panthers talked to you about land. Dr. Khalid Muhammad made sure you understood we were talking about land and territory of our own. See, it's about coming up out of your comfort zone. It's about coming out of your comfort space and knowing that you're not really free. See, when you know you're not free, then that's when you start talking about having your own land and having your own stuff. If you still believe that you're free and been emancipated and all that type of deal, you ain't going to talk about no land. You ain't even thinking about no land. You ain't thinking about no institutions of your own, because you can go right down to the bank, Chase Bank, Bank of America, all that. You can go right down in and deal with what they got. You still want to be on the umbilical cord of white America. But for those of us who understand that umbilical cord is poisonous and that it was built by illegal means and treacherous means, yeah, we want to cut the damn umbilical cord and go for freedom. Let's go for another call here. I think we got 805-235-805-235. You're on live. I'm sorry, Black Power Radio. Let's see. Black Power.
805. That was the wrong phone number. Peace and love, warrior woman.
805-235. That's you, right?
That's right.
Hey, okay. I got you. Warrior woman, what's happening?
Well, I just wanted to know, how long are we going to have conversations about unity and conversations about revolutionary and conversation about freedom and getting land? And, you know, where is someone going to make the step to finally get land, and or, you know, or for what? You know, there's so many wars going on with this country. It's like we can't even fight the country here where we're at, you know. And I just want to know where exactly people are at, because I don't see jack shit right now.
And that's an honest assessment, my comrade. That's an honest assessment. I think that it's there. I think that it's there in pockets, like we just heard our brother come on the air and talk about the summit. I know that at our last mass gathering, we were talking about the reparations and, you know what I mean, and putting the plans forth to going after that. And as I said, when we were in Azania and Zimbabwe, that there were major negotiations, some that I can't really talk about right now on the air, but major negotiations for land and the land process. So I think that it's there. You know, unfortunately, it just has not yet struck the masses. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, since we don't see it on a mass level, it's as if it's non-existent. But the fact that, you know, we are the sparks and we are priming the pump and talking about it and putting things in motion, I think that that's most important. And I don't want to discount communication because, you know, in this generation especially, we have to talk about it. Because unless if we don't talk about it, others won't talk about it. You know what I mean? Like people are such in such a sheep mode where if it doesn't come across CNN, if it doesn't come across Fox News, you know, if it doesn't come across MSNBC, then it does not become a relevant part of their politics. And so it takes people like me, it takes people like you, people like our brother who just called, and everybody who's concerned, who's listening. It takes us to make the conversation. And to put it on the table, you know, and to put what's ours square on the table in a programmatic position that we can accomplish it and we can organize the people around. And I honestly believe, and you know like I know, that if the Honorable Kwame Ture was here, that's exactly what he'd be doing. He'd be putting it square on the table, and he'd be organizing the people around that. So I think that we're on the path, you know, and it's just going to take us to organize in a more efficient fashion to get the message out more.
I think we have to uplift our minds to where we're at. We're talking international stuff. They're bombing Africa right now, and I don't see an African group standing up. I see 220-some young women that they stole, these young girls they stole to give them to the Al-Qaeda and the the Muslim Brotherhood, so they could rape these women and all this other name in Islam. And it just aggravates me that we don't have a damn leadership that's going to come and do that. For us as people of color, we have to kill somebody before we get on the news, you know. And then what little stuff we have of media, we don't even talk about the real issues. You know, we're talking about a dream 10,000 years, you know, that should have been here 30, 40 years that I've heard people talk about. It just gets me mad that we have to be talking this and that. You know, people are going to have to beat their face slapped, and only a handful are going to have to move ahead, because the rest of people are brain dead. They're already gone. They're into drugs, alcohol, and lost spirituality and making up their own spirituality. This is what I'm saying. How can we honestly think, you know, when we have a white man's mentality and a white man's voice? A Western philosophy way of thinking, you know, it hasn't worked 30 years ago. It ain't going to work in the future. That's how come we say we're sitting on the land bases that have the last resources in this country, and we're going to die sitting there. No pipeline's going to go into some of these Indian lands. You know, they're going to die, and people have to get to that point, you know, because we ain't playing patty cakes with the white man or the Jewish guy or the Zionist or the pig or whatever you want to call him. I think it's time we have to wake up. And if we don't wake up, then we all go to hell where we actually belong, because we're not doing nothing for our babies.
Oh, I totally agree with you, and I'm on the same plane as you in saying that it takes the awakening of the revolutionary consciousness in our people. You know, I mean, as George Jackson and others taught, you know, as you say, 40 years ago, things come in ebbs and flows, and they come in processes, and sometimes that process is painfully slow. You know, I mean, like I say, even the great Mau Mau warriors and all of them, they didn't have an overthrow overnight. You know what I'm saying? They had to stick in that thing and keep fighting. They took casualties and lost people. You know, I mean, you know that history. You know the history with your people. You know, y'all lost people and people were set up and framed, and people betrayed you and all kind of stuff. And so we're going through these processes that it takes to make a complete cleansing and a real revolution. What I would say to you, comrade, is to remain vigilant. You know what I'm saying? Remain vigilant and remain in the vanguard position, because you really can't go nowhere. To be honest with you, there ain't nowhere you can go, and you know, and ain't nowhere I can go. We can't punk out. We can't bow out. We can't get weak. We just got to turn up the heat. If we're not getting the results that we want, we got to turn up the heat. And I'm all for turning up the heat and turning up the pressure and giving a big dosage of the medicine. I'm for that. But I refuse to get weaker on the issue. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just thinking that we need leadership with the more open-minded that can go beyond their own bottom half. You know what I mean? I'm tired of these womanizers. I'm tired of these people just pimping for money and looking for money when there was money right there laying out in the open and nobody went for it because people were just, you know, they're so selfish. And that's why it says we have a white mind, and that's all we think about. We think of the white man's materialism. We never think of a true spiritualism. You know, it's like it's sad. It's just really disappointing.
We are the leaders that we seek, Warrior Woman. That's what I'm gonna tell you. The leader.
That is sad though.
That's
you know
not
I mean?
Sad. That's
in a bad
that's
shape.
That's the
you know,
truth.
I see our our elders are dying. I mean, our elders with knowledge, because there's a lot of fools out there saying that they're elders and they're this and that, you know, and you know they're nothing but a liar, you know? They're all going to hell. I know they are, you know, because you can see, you know, what they're doing. You know, they might hide their filth behind closed doors and then get more filthier when they're in jail being raped and abused and then singing about it. That's what gets me so mad. People can sing a sad song. Hey, shit, all of us live that sad life that people have been punked and jumped and raped and all this other crap that's happening. And we just say, oh, well, yes, let's go to church and pray about goodness and you backstabbing people. You know, there has to be somebody who's going to be honest, you know, in reality. You know, that's why I says the land has so much resources if you want to take the resources, you know, and this government won't even let you even claim your sovereignty or your freedom. That's why they killed, you know, Khalid Muhammad, you know, and that's how come they kill only the real leaders. And if we don't realize that now, that white man's never going to give you anything because he wants it all, you know, and he, you know, he don't even give it to his own white ranchers and shit, you know. So I think that people are going to have to wake up to reality. If not, then they're going to go, you know, die with the enemy. They're going to die with the master in his house.
I think
like you
I
said,
think
the White House has a black president, and oh, he's done worse. He bombed our own black country, you know. So, you know, Kwame, if we read what Kwame said, you can't put a clown or somebody in a imperial situation, you know, because it's going to be the exact same thing. So it doesn't matter if a brown person or a red person or a black person goes to the White House, it's still going to be the White House, no matter if you color it or you make another religion to assume, you know, Christmas. You know, we still want these Christmases and still holidays of the white man. We just substitute it with a different color. And that's like I'm saying, we're just playing games until we realize we don't want a fucking job in that fucking system because that system is fucking us. And if we don't realize that, then, you know, all we're doing is putting a Band-Aid on cancer. All we're doing is playing a game because we made it, and then just feed the ones that are starving that are making that noise, arrest them, and then they'll pay you money for you being put in jail, you know, to bail you out. All a money game and stuff, and that's all people want is money, money, money. Yes. You know, nobody's telling me about true spirituality of protecting the land and the air that we breathe or the water that we drink. You know, for creation. Nobody's talking about that. That's why I say revolution or evolution, whichever comes first, you know, but I have old Betsy next to me anyway.
Well, I'm talking about that and you talking about that, and it's some others talking about that. So we, you know, even if the voice of the capitalistic seems more magnified, our voice is very poignant. Sister Warrior Woman, and I guarantee you that people who are listening to you right now are resonating with your spirit, and we feel your pain. I mean, we yearn to breathe free, just like you yearn to breathe free, and it pisses all of us off in the midnight hour at different points. And so that's why I'm giving you this encouragement and letting you know that we are on the victorious side. It doesn't make a difference how many people line up against you or how many people act like they don't understand what you're doing or what you're saying. You are on the victorious side if you continue to fight, you know, and continue to push. And we have to push for, especially for the political prisoners locked down and those comrades that are in the concentration camps who, you know, are not out walking the streets, and, you know, so we got to keep pushing.
Whatever.
Sister Warrior Woman fired up on Black Power Radio. You know what I'm saying, Sister Warrior Woman. You are on the victorious side. You are on the side of victory. But it's just not an easy process. But you hang in there. You hang in there and be strong.
Well, I'm just encouraging everybody to pick up something to get, you know, to hit the white man.
I ain't mad at you. I would encourage to do the same in self-defense. Thank you so much, Sister Warrior Woman. I got to get the chairman on. Hang
okay.
on. Black Power.
Peace and love.
All right. Peace and love. All right, brothers and sisters, help me to welcome the Black Power Radio National Chairman of the New Black Panther Party, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, sir.
Black Power. Can you hear me, Brother Shane?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. You should be able to look on the caller board and find our Black Warrior Treasure. Brother Fred Jr. should be holding on right now.
I'm looking for him. He's not there yet.
Okay, hold one second. I grab him.
Yes, sir, brothers and sisters. And again, the number to call is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447 to get into this discussion. Of course, we'll be talking about the great warrior chairman, Fred Hampton Sr., and we'll be talking about great Deputy Defense Minister Mark Clark, and of course we'll be talking about our struggle, as you just heard. We heard from Sister Warrior Woman, who's talking about our struggle and the struggle of our people and her people, and we're talking about getting free, and you heard from many others. We got to get into it, as she says, some real communication and conversation to get down to the nitty-gritty on what's really going on with the people for some real results. Brother Chairman, you back?
Yeah, I had Brother Fred just call me and say he was calling in. We wanted him on at 10:30, but we had to make it clear that that's Eastern time, because out in Chicago it's just now 10:30.
Oh,
so
yes,
he
sir.
He should be on the board. He just texted me and said he was trying to get in. I'm trying to
All
find
right.
out what number you need to grab. So just bear with me and just keep teaching. And we'll find our big brother out there.
No problem. As soon as he called in, we'll put him in. You know, brothers and sisters, this is a very, very, very serious topic for all of us, because we are talking about the freedom of our people and the future of our children. And so we understand the passion. You know, and the fire. We understand it because we share the same passion and the same fire. But I want to encourage all of us out there to stay steadfast in the fight, and to know that no matter what you see, don't be fooled by the sight of your eyes. Go forth by the faith of the vision. Go forth in the revolutionary fervor, you know, and go forward. To do some things dynamic and great for the people. Keep pushing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't worry about what it looks like, and don't worry about what the naysayers say. Don't pay them any attention. You got to put on blinders in this mission and stay focused on the goal. You got to get you a worthy goal and stay focused on the goal, and understand that even if we have casualties in the battle, that there's nobody who falls in this battle in vain, that all of the blood of our ancestors will be avenged, and that even if it's our own blood will be avenged. This is an eternal struggle, And that's something that comes to mind every time I think about Kwame Ture telling us about this, an eternal struggle. This struggle is eternal, and we don't stop until we at the very, very victory. And so, ain't no stopping, ain't no quit. As I told you before, we don't die, we multiply. We don't die, we multiply. And so, I mean, can you think about an enemy who has tried everything in his and her power to destroy a people, everything from chemical warfare to biological warfare to psychological warfare, educational warfare, cultural warfare. And out of everything that they have tried, all of it, even though it has had some devastating effects, all of it is unsuccessful because it has not annihilated us as a people. You got to think about that. As a people, we have not been annihilated. As a people, we are still here. Brother Chairman, you back with us?
Yes, sir. I'm just excited. And listening to you teach and waiting the call of Brother Fred, because it's such a touching subject when you even mention Brother Fred Jr.'s name, because when you talk about revolution, and then when you talk about revolution in the sense of the pain, the hurt, and the sacrifice that revolutionaries make, and it really hits home when you deal with revolutionary from the perspective of Malcolm X had six daughters, you know, that he left. Dr. King had four kids that he left. And when you talk about Fred Hampton Sr., just to think about Sister and Jerry sitting there hearing those bullet shots and being in that home while they were taken.
Yes, sir. He's on now.
Okay. Let's get them on.
All right. Brothers and sisters, I want you to welcome to Black Power Radio the chairman and president of POCC, the Prisons of Conscious Community, and the BPPC, Black Panther Party Cubs. I want you all to welcome Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Black Power, free them all. How are you, sir?
Hey, Black Power, proud of the people, free them all. Spirits are strong. I'm literally bogged down. I'm calling you live and direct from Chicago, what is now has infamously now been referred to as Chirac, denoting the fact that it's literally and politically a war zone. And I'm just caught the heels of two funerals today, and just in the process of leaving the repast, literally within a few minutes ago. And it was kind of getting caught up in a couple of interviews back to back, and you have another interview set about, you know what I'm saying, a number of different things addressing the number of deaths and the casualties that we're incurring right in the city, in the city again, infamously known as Chirac. So that's kind of partly and due the delay with me being able to call in for this interview.
Man, no problem. No problem at all. Revolutionary understanding. Like, man, we appreciate you being on with us. Kind of brief us on the latest happening. First of all, introduce yourself for those who may not know who you are. Who is Chairman Fred Hampton Jr.?
Basically, in a nutshell, the better yet, coming from previously coming out of the jail cell, I'm a servant of the people. I'm honored and humbled to represent POCC/BPPC, which is an acronym for the Prisons of Conscious Committee, Black Panther Party Cubs. Oh, hold on. I would definitely be remiss if I do not acknowledge the induction of the CRT, also the Community Response Team, which is also a part of our formation. We're an international organization. Canon of Work, one of the most revolutionary organizations that North America has yet to witness, that being the Black Panther Party. In the eyes of the government, I have been, in the essence, defined as a three-strike offender. One, just for simply being African. Two, for being the son of not only Chairman Fred, but also of a Corn Jerry. And three, for continuing to fight for liberation of our people. And I take the, we take the position that any entity that refers to it as a crime, we'll be honored to refer to as a criminal. We deal with a lot of basic day-to-day campaigns, ranging from addressing the demand of freeing up political prisoners to the, addressing the rampant police terrorism that many people euphemistically refer to as police brutality. But the police terrorism that our people are subjected to on a day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis, in fact, one of our mantras is that we say every day, again, I repeat, every day is September 11 within our community. And we say we are the great grandchildren of God, the offspring of Malcolm and the Isaac Cubs of Black Panther Party.
Yes, sir. Sir, I absolutely. We wanted to talk as much as you can about your father and Deputy Defense Mark Clark. And I know that, you know, there's many that know, but there's a generation that don't know about the legacy, the sacrifice of who your father was and who Deputy Defense Mark Clark was. Can you touch on your father and touch on Comrade Mark Clark?
Definitely. I would like to preface my position or define who these individuals were with pointing out the fact that it's not by happenstance or coincidence that many people are not familiar who Chairman Fred and Defense Captain Mark Clark were. And this should be acknowledged that this is a concerted effort, again, a concerted effort, that the legacies of forces of this caliber have been obliterated or maligned, you know what I'm saying, one way or another. In other words, as Malcolm X has stated, well, when we say they reference the state, when they can't stop it, they will attempt to co-opt it, endorse it, ward it down, change it, make it so it can be. There has been an ongoing effort that the conversation of such forces as Chairman Frank and Mark Clark not be acknowledged, or if it's acknowledged, to be done in a cooperative type of fashion. We have been, the POCC, along with the courts of other organizations or entities such as the December 4th Committee, which is honored, which is chaired by a cool and chair form is known as Deborah Johnson, the widow and comrade of Chairman Fred. We have every year the IRD, International Revolutionary Day, which December 4th, we say that day is one of our September 11 stories. One of our September 11 stories. The day in which the two of our twin towers, quote unquote, fell. We acknowledge not only the contributions of Chairman Fred and Defense Captain Mark Clark, but revolutionaries past and present alike. And there's, again, you name it, from University of Chicago to other powerful entities have continuously attempted to, you know, send a wipe, to take out anyone who speaks out and acknowledges the contributions of these forces. But this is the Chairman Fred represented an organization that really came from the masses, came from the valley. And though they were not given credit for such contributions as the first, I reemphasize the first three breakfast programs, in Chicago, Illinois, fed a minimum of 3,500 children a week, or the Rainbow Coalition, though there's been a concerted effort to give individuals the impression that it did not exist, or if it did exist, it supposedly came from individuals such as Reverend Jesse Jackson, which nothing can be further from the truth. It was Chairman Fred who organized the Real Deal Rainbow Coalition and done it when it was a revolutionary act, taking on such feats. It's when a group of poor whites who are known as the Young Patriots, to some point of political unity, the Young Lords, to some point of political unity, and many of what we refer to as the unpoliticized street tribes. We politicized the formerly known devil disciples to a point of unity where they get up publicly. And so we now recognize something known as the black disciples due to the political education we have received from Chairman Fred of the Black Panther Party. And even was able to flip the script, per se, after it was documented with the federal government white stores and a major street organization in Chicago, and told the vice lords that they would give them 16th Street, a portion of the west side of Chicago, under the condition that the Black Panther Party would not be able to open a free medical center on 16th Street. But under charismatic, courageous leadership with Chairman Fred, they were able to win the vice lords to subsequently work at the free medical center. And even by the federal government's own records, and I reemphasize that, by the federal government's own records, because it's important to note that, because a lot of times people don't believe something is a fact unless you say white folks said it or the government said it. Without the government's own records, when the Black Panther Party was in existence, there was a record low to what is referred to as a black-on-black crime, a term we have issues with, you know, pointing out. But even, this organization impacted every aspect of our life, or better, excuse me, better yet, our existence, because Marvin Gaye said this ain't living. Everything from, a lot of times you hear people from that era of time say, well, the music was saying something back then. But the music, this just didn't happen out of osmosis. It just didn't come out of a vacuum. There was this organization, they upped the ante. And you see, not only Chairman Fred, but so many other charismatic, courageous individuals. You seen where James Brown had a whole totally different song playing at first. He wasn't talking about singing I'm Black and I'm Proud. But there was representatives such as H. Ralph Brown, not known as Imam Jamil Alameen. Literally, drew it out on this joke about James Brown. Told him you better go back in the studio with that garbage you're talking about. James Brown came back out talking about I'm Black and I'm Proud. There was a movement then that did not allow him, James Brown, to come back and pull what he pulled in the Rocky movie with the red, white, and blue drawers on talking about living in America. You know what I'm saying? So this organization, I mean, it's not been given its due credit. And again, there's been a concerted effort that people do not make the correlation that this was the catalyst that, again, impacted every genre of our existence, from music to the way we deal with each other, name the street organizations, you name it. And so it's been that we have taken, you know, this task. You know, it's a hell of a task, but again, we acknowledge that it's similar to what I had stated at the repass for Stanley Tookie Williams in California, who was executed by the state of California, and we had to go do our own thing in the community because it's like so many other instances. It was his funeral was a situation where the masses were attempted to be ignored, the masses of people. And we told the community, and I pointed out that Tookie Williams came up in a climate similar to that I grew up in, devoid of such organization, the Black Panther Party, where the only options in life were to become a Boy Scout or a banker. I repeat, to become a Boy Scout or a banker. In other words, to suit up and boot up for corporate America, or to suit up and boot up to be some sort of a spine Lucky Luciano. The Black Panther Party was such forces, Bunchy Carter, you know, different lists of here, Ronald Dog Statue, and this goes on and on. Provide a venue, provide an apparatus where the people can fight on their own terms for this precious entity that we refer to as self-determination. A lot of people try to devalue it to a fight against racism or make white folks understand we going through, like, and so on and so forth. But the deal was, we, the Black Panther Party, could have said, in the spirit of the Black Panther Party, we fight for the right to determine the destiny of our own communities. And there has been a concerted effort that right be deprived from us, and also the ones who getting down with this here be deprived. And we say with us, we say with that legacy, and I repeat that, legacy is, in fact, more important than our life. Because we have a certain amount of time to have this physical shell to be here physically. But a legacy serves as a prototype or an example of something that we don't say that we can pick them and identify with. And we say we don't cross them T's and dot them I's. Literally and sometimes figuratively and politically, always politically, that we be liberal. If we try to straddle the fence, if we don't be correct, if we be liberal in cases of the late, great Reverend Nat Turner, I repeat, Reverend Nat Turner, that if we're not on point, that can distinguish him being seen for what he was, a freedom fighter as opposed to slandered and some sort of crazy madman going plantation to plantation. It is so important. A lot of times people trip when we say these titles. You know, it's Chairman Fred, Defense Captain Mark Clark, or Deputy Minister of Health Ronald Satchel, or Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. This ain't no case of ego tripping. It's a case of acknowledging the structural organization, a political entity that the bourgeoisie, the ruling class, who have a disdain for anyone that stands up on their own terms. The system has no problem acknowledging that so many entities that really has a aspiration, bourgeoisie aspiration, to be part of the system. We said the late, great Field Marshal George Jackson of the Black Panther Party said that capitalism, we repeat, capitalism is such a foul piece of pie that even if we could have a piece, we'd rather not.
Yeah, that's real talk. Brother Chairman, Hashim, you got a question?
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, welcome to Black Pack, Black Power Talk Radio, Chairman.
Thank you.
It's been a long journey, but sometime I just be reading and I be praying, I be thinking, you know, I be thinking of Steve Binko kids and Brother Lumumba's kids and Malcolm kids, and I think of the, as you call and we call, the Cubs of the Revolutionaries who are so so boldly and gracefully gave their lives so we can be on this radio tonight, and for you to come on and you to text me earlier that you was burying some of our people in our community, I just sometimes have to drop my head because your father stood so strong in a time where, I mean, a time where it was almost impossible to have an identity as a black man in this country. He stood and proved that a black man could stand through the storm. And I listen to his lectures, and I go to YouTube sometime and just hear how intelligent and how people are falling so in love with him. And to keep reading that story and to meet with you several times and meet with Mama and Jerry at your home, and just to think about the truth and the reality that we got young people that right now don't know the sacrifice that your father made to stand up and take the post and hold the post that we are going to organize our people. We are going to be heard. We are going to march forward. We are going to overcome racism and oppression and imperialism and any thing that gets in the way. We're going to move. I'm so in love with your father, and I'm so in love with he made somebody like you who people don't understand. And the reason I mentioned some of the children of the fallen soldiers is because the children automatically become targeted, and we know what you went through, and we know your suffering, and 10 years in a cage for no reason, kidnapped. And, man, you sound stronger tonight than I ever heard you sound, so we know we can do this. But what we want to know from Black Power Radio and what we want to know from the new Black Panther Party, and we're about to move June 19th in every nation to stop black-on-black war and black-on-black crimes in our own community against our own people. We want to know what do you need us to do, Brother Fred?
Well, I just want to, the deal is, we are here on a day-to-day basis. We are resourced, we are funded, we are, you know, and the deal is we combating against not only the system is saying directly, in other words, sometimes I'm kind of hesitant or even struggle against saying this term "they." You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times people get caught with this vague, spook, you know, boogeyman type of thing. I want to struggle to call out certain entities. In other words, the entities, universe, we out, you know, resourced by such entities, the powerful city of Chicago administration, Mayor Rahm Israel Emanuel, and the Chicago Civic Commission, the University of Chicago, amongst others, as well as the poverty pimps, the ones, the state-sanctioned spokespersons, the ones, the bogus Stop the Violence organizations that the state literally creates, similar to the tactic where R.J. Reynolds and the tobacco company, once they had their back against the wall, they said, okay, we will appoint and we will create an entity to check us through, such as the Truth Agency, which is, you know, like a fraud organization. They create their own, quote-unquote, adversary. This is the type of situation that we're dealing with, not only from coast to coast, but on an international basis. We're dealing with cases in Oakland, California, where a young sister, Nubia Bowe, got beat down by the infamous BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit Police Department, and it's Chirac, where, you know, it's on a day-to-day basis where you, the media, who they would tell you point blank, the WGN News and Representative the infamous Fox News, who intentionally, out their own mouth and told us, Fox Media out of its own mouth said, that we cannot cover Fred Hampton Jr. This is right in the face. And we're not saying this to say that we want some TV time. This was some TV time. But it's important that people understand that we are strategically being muffled out, so the state cannot know what type of work we're doing. Similar to like the decree that went out by the former mayor of Chicago, Richard M. Daley, where he told, in response to the rebellions, not the riots, the rebellions that happened, he gave specific orders to the media to not report was the riot, what he called the riots. Why? Because once the people start making the connection, what's going down, it can become infection. It can become infectious. So I'm pointing all this out to say, and also report make another acknowledgement. such even so, so Negro Press, we call itself Progressive Press in Chicago, WVON Radio, WVO, the so-called, excuse me, what they got their own mouth, they say the voice of the Negro. They telling you. A lot of these organizations, their names, they tell you. The voice of the Negro. They have official ban on us. You know what I'm saying? Myself, my fellow comrades, we can't call in. So I want to acknowledge this and say it's important we get access to various media apparatuses. And again, we don't receive any faith-based initiative money or any other FBI type of funds. My pride a lot of times holds me back from putting this call out, but I have to struggle against my comrades that struggle about that. We got court cases right now that we literally can't get to as we speak. You know, this because of lack of resources and funds to be able to track move around. So I want to stress to the people, without the people we can't do what we do. As Minister UEP do say, without the people, revolution is impossible. To go to www.chairmanfredjr.blogspot.com. And I know I speak fast, but say it again. www.chairmanfredjr.blogspot.com. It's a PayPal, access to a PayPal. It's a press to donate. You know what I'm saying? People can get in contact with us. You know what I'm saying? Through that. On a blog spot, they can hit us on our Facebook at Prisoners of Conscience Committee. You know what I'm saying? Any way people say, well, I can't get that, I can't take up work, so on and so forth. Any way people can assist with us getting this word out, you know what I'm saying? For resources to, you know, again, we do need bodies also. But that's it. I want to stress that and seize the time with that. We need support with resources too, and able to get this word out whatever venue. Because, again, we're not talking about this work in some sort of abstract type of way, but in a real deal, concrete type of way, by, you know what I'm saying, by dealing with these contradictions and campaigns, not only in the city of Chirac, but, you know what I'm saying, on an international level.
I'm taking my mirror off. I truly understand, and Brother Sean, we need to put that on our website, and we need to repeat it several times at the end of the show, because, Brother Fred, we're going to reach out, and we're going to make sure that we do all we can do, and you know, we're in the same boat you in. We've been, I call it white ball from certain media, but, you know, thank God for shows like we got now. We got avenues where we talk to literally hundreds of thousands of people all over the world through internet radio, and we've been doing it consistently. We had Brother Life Jennings on the first hour, and we were talking about conscious music, getting out of here back like he was talking about Jane Brown. And we had Dr. Khaled Mansour on a couple of months ago, who wrote the song "I'm Black and I'm Proud." But man, I just want to say this, Brother Fred, for the listening audience who really, really don't understand the passion and the drive that you have, I don't think anybody could really understand what it's like having a father that is a hero to the nation and a hero to the people, but a father that never got to hold you, a father that never got to walk you to school, a father that never got to tell you to come here and do this and do that, and yet instill his DNA and your wonderful mother, African mother, installed in you like it just seemed like the spirit of your father just jumped into you, and he's with you every hour, every second. And, man, I just love the way you never stop. And I want you to know that you are making a difference. And as I travel and we go through what we go through in this organization, we run across people you've been touched all the time. So I want you to know, brother, your work is not in vain. Your father's work was not in vain. And we understand clearly that the revolution is the only solution. And we just want to make sure that our callers get to ask you questions. So me and the host, Brother Sean, we'll tie you up all day. So we're going to try to go to the lines and get some callers on. We got our treasure and the son of our great and fantastic mind and our comrade, Big Brother Fred Hampton Sr., who with Brother Mark Clark and several other Panthers were attacked viciously by the Chicago police and assassinated that December 4th, 1969. And we will never forget it. And we will always continue his struggle. And we will always pick up that microphone that he dropped that night on that floor. Brother Sean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll go to call here, area code 231-672. Your area code is 231-672. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking to Fred, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Come in with your question, your comment, please. Welcome, Black Power.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Just wanted to say thanks, Brother Chairman Fred, for continuing your work. This is Big Rob from Muskegon. I don't know if you remember who I am or...
Oh, come on, brother.
But,
man.
But I saw you put this out, so, you know, my staff here, Paul and, of course, Brother Marcus is listening also. And we just, you know, it was me that was chosen to call in and say, you know, thank you for what you did when you came here
yes.
to Muskegon on the Humbug.
Yes.
Well, not necessarily a Humbug, but, you know, we had several hours to speak with this brother. And I understand what you brothers are saying, being the host, because I think I tied up this time. We tied up this time for about, what, 3-4 hours? Just talking and enjoying the conversation. So, again, thank you, brother, for continuing in the fight and struggle and doing the things that you do. And you know what we're doing up here. And,
no doubt.
You know, any
no doubt.
Way I can help you or my staff or any of us at our radio station can help you, you know, you got us. So thank you once again, brother. And
hey.
I won't tie the line and let you keep on, you know, giving that knowledge out.
Hey, let me say thank you. Extend my love and greetings to the community there in Muskegon, Michigan. And let me say thank you and all for allowing me to be a servant of the people. It's something I do not take lightly. Please, Brother Big Rob, you can't give me a call, too, because I know some things that we're supposed to follow up on. But, again, man, it's been a long time since I heard your voice. Thank you, and I want to thank the people. And I want to just slip this in, too, because I don't know how much time I have, but I want to extend my condolences to the family of the sister whose funeral today, 14-year-old sister India Martin, whose funeral we had to go to today. And I might get called out because we got a long repass going on different places. I might get to bounce back out at any given time. I just want to extend condolences to not only her family, but to the countless number of our youth in particular, and our people in general, that have, sad to say, have got caught. The whole funeral phenomenon has become a norm in our whole community, a crime scene. As I said earlier at the funeral today, that Black Panther Party Cubs, the POCC, we add on to the statement, the old adage that goes, "God made Africans and America made niggas." We add to that the mayor and the machine made Chirac, the same system that shut down 50 Chicago public schools simultaneously while dismantling the red line transportation system is directly inside the black neighborhoods. The same system that has literally bought the cartel in Chirac and flooded the heroin and dope through our communities that the media don't want to talk about in other colonized communities. The same system that has calls for abandoned buildings throughout our communities and had the foreclosure rate under such American gangsters and banksters as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The same system that comes through and is running a cocktail ring in our communities, they coming through throwing these boots on black people's cars and taking the car. That same system that took a city of Chicago that was so structured at one time that crack cocaine was last introduced into the city of Chicago because it was such a structure. They had to kill Fluky Stokes and lock up Jeff Ford, also Chief Malik. They have dismantled that structure. They have taken away such leadership in the city of Chicago, and they have, for lack of better terms, raised up the runts of the litter. And they have dismantled structure. What you have in Chicago, what you have in Chirac, what you have in so many other places can be defined as nothing less than organized chaos. Organized chaos. And I know at the funeral today, a lot of the spokespersons, the state station spokespersons, they was going to this whole same old song where these children just kill each other like it's some sort of natural happenstance. But the deal is, again, some people say, oh, he comes, some people even actually say, oh, he comes Chairman French, or he's just blaming the government, or blaming the system, blaming the white man. And you damn right. You damn right. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, because all of these contradictions, the blood is your sister's body today, was 14-year-old girl today, in India, to so many casualties. If you can strategically, directly or indirectly tie to the policies and practices that trickle down from the administration of not only the city of Chicago but throughout this country. So, you know, when people please keep on their minds and hearts the cases of long-held political prisoners, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Rochelle St. Hubert, your brother, the sister down the street, Nubia Bowen in Oakland, California, your sister India today, the legacy of Chairman Freeman, Defensive Lamar Clark. You dig what I'm saying? We say everything is political. And understand the importance of propaganda. You know, so even right now as we speak, it's not the case of Mario Hess, also known as Blood Money, or also the Big Low, who recently was signed to Interscope Records, then mysteriously was gunned down shortly after that in the southwest side of Chicago. This is not happenstance that we see the same players, the same individuals whose names were ringing around the infamous East Coast, West Coast rivalries, popping up in the city of Chicago, talking about signing these young brothers and sisters, all of a sudden they get knocked off. It's not about coincidence that this propaganda bomb, Nicki Minaj, a lot of people want to call Nicki Minaj, will put out a song called Shrek, encouraging the shooting and stuff, you know, in the city of Chicago. Imagine during the era of Nazi Germany, if somebody came out with a song, you know, encouraging and rushing up and pushing up, you know, the gas chambers. And this was happening in this community. So we want to be cognizant of the fact that, again, everything is political. From the propaganda, the music, the words, the terms, the fashion, everything. And, you know, this legacy, we talk about the Black Panther Party. People say, well, what's the big deal about it? It's such a big deal. The state has literally created individuals, to co-opt this whole legacy. And in fact, the University of Chicago, through the administrators of an institute referred to as Race and Politics, and some of the facilitators, Tracy Matthews, and amongst others, they have literally created an organization called Illinois History Project to hijack the legacy of Black Panther Party. In fact, to tell you how you was pointing out earlier, brother, about my canon was work. And I say, I want to point out there are certain guardrails or framework that have helped keep me online too. Not only the people, but the state. The state, some of the same individuals the names were popped up. We talk about the 60s, the infamous Woodlawn experiment, how the University of Chicago, you know, try to create an antagonist relationship between such organizations, the Blackstone Rangers and the Black Panther Party. That same entity. They have a program right now going on where you have facilitators at the University of Chicago that actually try to offer people money to take the deal. What they said, the deal with me. In other words, take me out to put a contract on my head. And this is, I'm not talking about the 1960s. I'm talking about as of recent. And you know, and so people must understand this is not some sort of conspiracy theory or abstract thinking or how bad things used to be. This stuff is happening right now as we speak. So I just want to point that out for the record again. I don't know how when I got to bounce back out for this repass, but you know, seize the time, pull out these contradictions.
Absolutely. We'll take another call here. Caller, thank you so much for that. Your number is 310-923. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking to Chairman Fred Hampton. Zuma, come in with your question, please. Welcome, Black Power.
First and foremost, I would just like to pay homage to those before me who basically paved the way for me to even be able to be on this phone call right now. I mean, so I just give big ups and, like, mad respect for that foremost. But they did not stand up and speak, I probably wouldn't be able to speak. But, I mean, the thing is, I would like to start with basically a question, a rhetorical question. I mean, I believe my people are basically, we're broken. We're strong, but we're broken. And how can a broken vessel hold water? I mean, we can talk, we can speak the truth, but until we as a whole really believe what's being spoke, what's being said, we will never mend. I mean, so I'm trying to figure out how will we really come together and fix this real problem, you know what I'm saying? I heard the warrior, the woman speaking like probably 30, 40 minutes ago, man, and her point was very valid. I mean, I don't think they sweating when we just talking. I mean, we need to have more action, like, you feel me, like more togetherness, more unity. Like, I mean, maybe we need a bank account, a central bank account, to just buy one lot of land. Maybe, you feel me, start growing whatever it may be, soybeans, wheat, corn, you feel me, agriculture, you know what I'm saying, to start and let it grow, you know what I'm saying? They got to start somewhere, but I feel like we need to communicate because communication is key and understanding is even the lock, you feel me, needs to be unlocked. Because we can speak all from night to, you know what I'm saying, tomorrow, but shit, if we ain't understanding what's being said, it's like just going right over heads and through ears, you know what I mean? So I got mad respect for all those before me. I've did my studies. I need to continue to learn, and I embrace the struggle. But I'm just saying, man, when is the struggle going to end? It's like it's a continuous onslaught, you know what I mean?
All right.
Right on for your call, brother. And I think your last comment, you pretty much answered your own question. Your last statement, you said, when the struggle will end, and you responded, you said, it's like an ongoing process, you know, and that's the reality. That's the reality. That is the reality. Minister UAP News said revolution is not an incident. It's a process. We're talking about protracted struggle, ongoing. I would also point this out. I think black folks in particular speak French too much at the wrong times. I think we speak French too much at the wrong times. In other words, we. I think there's an incorrect assessment. We are, you know, the term we has to be analyzed. I got one of my sayings here. There are lots of cats are black when it's beneficial, Panthers when it's profitable. Again, black when it's beneficial, Panthers when it's profitable. We say we all the time. I can't find a lot of these. We all together, what you're saying, with certain benefits and concessions come down. But I'm clear, and a lot of people get upset with us. They say, well, Chairman Fred, you shouldn't say that. You know, you can't divisive. No, we don't divide, we identify. The Black Panther Party comes, we don't divide, we identify. Because Sun Tzu in the Art of War said, the call of principle warfare is know thyself and know thy enemy. Know thyself and know thy enemy. There's a liberalism. There's an attempt to believe that everybody wants the same thing. That is not the case in the black community. That is not the case in the Irish community. That is not the case in the Polish community, the Chinese community. There's not this utopia where everybody is together. And that's something that people have to acknowledge. And I want to also say that being oppressed, this is another quote from me, being oppressed is embarrassing. Being oppressed is embarrassing. So a lot of times we try to be liberal about it. We try to jive ourselves about it. We try to water it down and say, well, it's really not as bad as we see it. That's one of the things I like about this generation right now coming up now. Like even a lot of people have an issue with the term Chirac. Well, I don't think we should call it that because blah, blah. These youngsters ain't hearing that. They're not about to deny these police SUVs that run through Inglewood and North Montana up and down like army tanks in Afghanistan and Iraq and Africa. These young cats not going to deny the correlation about them 17-year-old sisters. I said 17-year-old sisters in Cook County Jail today who are forced to rinse out their sanitary napkins for reuse. And talk about what's happening in Avogadro, Baghdad, where prisoners are stripped naked, packed on top of each other like sardines. They not going to deny drawing the cordage to Pontiac Prison, where prisoners have to go on prison visits with black net masks over their face with rope through the mouthpiece. And not to negate or no disrespect or take away from what you said. Last time when we talk about certain things, we have to start saving our money, you know, doing certain things. We can have a discussion dismissing the counterinsurgency. Oh, a lot of people say this whole thing, like it doesn't, I heard people say, don't worry about them. As long as we just stick together, we do this and that, we'll be all right. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Anytime black folks, what the old saying say, anytime black folks rub two nickels together, make a dime, white folks can make it a crime.
Gee.
Anytime black folks rub two nickels together, make a dime, white folks can make it a crime. Sisters came with brown hair in California without getting locked up. Houses being raided like they serve the for selling drugs or something. I said, braid in hell. They got laws in Chicago, Illinois. Cats, you got a felony, you can't even cut hair. And one of the
assets and a lot in a detriments of our community, like that we adapt too damn well. We say, okay, let's don't fight it. Let's try to figure out how to work around it. When this system came out with house arrest, when they start turning our homes and our grandma homes into jails, start putting bands on our legs, can't start trying to figure out how you can put the band on the dog's leg and leave the house. As opposed to say, wait a minute, this got to be knowledge exposed. They turned our whole community to prisons, to concentration camps.
That's right.
The Black Panther Party comes, say, start using brutal charms for brutal realities. What did Alcoholics Anonymous say? The first step in addressing the problem, recognizing we got a problem. So no damn gentrification. It's land grab. When I was in New York, I had to bust some cat up one time because he was fighting about this thing, about that center with his chump Slave Z. Y'all might call him Jay-Z. With his chump Slave Z was used as a front piece to come through after the community had stood up against the white folks, the system, about the land grab, the gentrification. But when they put this chump Slave Z face on the front of that basketball team while people was clapping and bragging about he owned the basketball team, negating the fact that he went over the front piece for this Russian gangster. When this chump Slave Z only had less than 1% of the team. And so what they did, the community had learned to suffer peacefully. When they mass moved the people out of their communities. Send them down growing prison industrial complex, other nice terms that you see state-sponsored organizations use, it's kidnapping about African other colonized people. AIDS, Ebola, crack, heroin. It's called chemical biological warfare being waged on our people. They don't have police brutality. It's police terrorism. All of us. When flashlights come behind us, all of us get that, feel that same sentiment of terror from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes. And it's embarrassing. But the first step is to stop acknowledging it. It's just trying to sidetrack where we do this, we say this, we grow this. We can do that, no doubt about that. But they're not. They're not to negate the brutal kind of insurgency. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. But I'm not having a discussion with nobody. Act like this don't exist. I'm not having a discussion with nobody negating this black elephant in the room, this race question, where people keep playing these games. Like this is what they call a post-racial society. See, we didn't drink the Kool-Aid. A lot of people talking about Obama now. We didn't drink the Kool-Aid when they first started serving it. Because when he was in Chicago, when he was clear, when he was a senator, he didn't talk about the torture by John Burns. There's electric shocking brothers on their sex organ. I'm talking about the city of Chicago. I'm talking about John Burns, Lieutenant John Burns, who was a homegrown terrorist, who was trained in Fort Benning, Georgia, who came back from South Vietnam, who broke the infamous black box to the southwest side of Chicago, was electric shocking Jackie and Andrew Wilson on their nuts. Head coughing them naked to radiators. I'm from the 80s, they talking about 1960s, they talking about 1800s, they talking about Germany, they talking about Auschwitz and Dachau, they talking about Iraq, they talking about Chicago. I'm talking about when John Burns was electric shocking brothers, they sex organ, and the screams were so loud on the third floor of Area 2. When the Negro pigs, when people talk all this abstract black stuff, when the Negro pigs sat down there and they said they admitted that. The screams were so loud from Jack and Andrew Wilson, David Bates and so many others, that the paneling was falling up the walls. I'm talking the 80s, man. Mm. I'm talking London, Amnesty International called this place the House of Screams. I'm talking this is the type of atrocities that's going to upstairs called down on the infamous Daily Machine. And don't give me this stuff, I know we need some more black police. I'm talking Leroy Martin, this Negro black and blue. He was the commander when this stuff was happening. So the kids, man, we just demonstrated 20 million niggas and 20 million niggas out of politics. The political assessment, we told them we exposed the Uncle Sam and Sambo, the gringo and the Negro. And them days is over. I'm the stage in my life, I'm not even engaging. I'm not going to play no games in these conversations. People say, well, man, Chairman, sometimes you use words and terms that people don't know. Niggas know they need to know. A cat can tell you all of Little Slave lyrics. Y'all might call him Lil Wayne. Lil Slave lyrics. A cat can repeat to you football stats and facts.
Teach.
Can repeat them numbers like that. When it comes down to dealing with some concrete situations in our community, we won't play games with. And see, I told a lot of people before, we ain't fighting to get up under we're not trying to leave colonialism to get up under neocolonialism.
That's right.
In other words,
We're not running from no rum plantation trying to end up with no Negro plantation. This whole discussion, we talk about Donald Sterling and NBA. What do you think Oprah Winfrey or Magic Johnson should be able to? Man, I say no. Let them Negroes on the white get up on the slave master direct. We should get up on a Negro who went for another white man. Another racist white man for. Would you give up some Negress or Negro who's off for the rest of the club? They constitute black hate groups. They hate black folks.
Yep.
They think all these atrocities happen in the city of Chicago. Go look at the amount of Negro politicians and aldermen that sit down there and sign the bills under Rahm Emanuel that sits with the Daily Do. See, we're going to talk about what the Portuguese did, the Spaniards did when they came to Africa and kidnapped us. We're not going to get up on them so punk. So the kings, the quote-unquote, the kings that they put in front of us is not so-called leaders either. We ain't giving no bonus organizations to fight for our liberation either. Because, see, it's a certain amount of progress and get to the question being up front. And these youngsters. They come into grips with Stephen Biko with the Black Conscience Movement saying that black people in particular must grasp the ability to distinguish intelligence from the ability to articulate. Them youngsters might can't say counterinsurgency. They might know how many candles light on your different holidays, and they might know all the speakers of different languages and stuff. But you can't bring none of them slave leaders to them. Them youngsters at their funeral today, when them preachers and them power pipers was attacking them, they weren't hearing it. But I talked to them, I rapper, they related to it. They can feel the real. They can feel the real. Because the conditions are too brutal to keep on playing games. People are surprised about this thing. I had a struggle with some sisters some weeks before they get about the re-exposure. I want to stress that word. The re-exposure about Al Sharpton wearing a wire. She told me, well, you know, I understand you're doing this and that, Chairman Flair, but, you know, Sharpton, so I said, oh, hold on. So don't you dare try to put me in the same category. See, we're going to have some conversation. She's going to put stuff in correct context. I'm clear that the reason why I can't get certain media exposure. I'm clear what you're saying. We can't really have enough resources to travel from here to here. You know what I'm saying? It's not because of I'm a Capricorn or because, you know, God don't like me or, you know, I didn't pay my tithes at church or I did so, you know what I'm saying, I talk too fast. No. It's because I represent a venue, an entity of people that come from the valley. I ain't been dipped in marrow sauce.
Go ahead.
I ain't been castrated. I'm clear of that. And that's a call. You know, I ain't trying to quote unquote make it up and up. We need some resources. We need some funds. A lot of cats keep well, Chan, we didn't know. No, cats know. People know. People know that. Now, you'll see them. Well, somebody told me, say, Chandler Fred, a lot of times you got to be cool because a lot of people don't know. I said, no, how about they do know? How would they do know? Like a child growing up in elementary school, you know to talk. You know to say Dr. King and don't say Malcolm X. You know it.
Right.
No, you got to talk. You got to talk when the police pull up on you. You know it. Stop playing games with each other. Stop playing games with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We know these different entertainers and artists how they get played. Don't tell me Puffy Combs and the rest of these punks getting no airtime because they're talented.
Right.
We're telling little children that Obama made it because he got the internet together and he was a community grassroots activist. Be for real. Say, let's make all to somebody else. We ain't buying it.
Go ahead.
We ain't buying it. Don't tell me these children in Chicago get knocked off dead a day. You tell me one block they can't pass they stupid, they can't pass no SAT scores, no tests, and they can't read and write. Then at the same time, you tell me 5 minutes later, they responsible for all these unsolved crimes. Be for real.
Right, right.
Be for real. This is the city of structure, man. This city has structure. Man, they dismantled the structure. One of its policies is to create chaos and restore order. To create chaos and restore order. Whether it be in Iraq, Afghanistan, Detroit, Chicago, or any other place. Listen closely for what's said and what ain't said. I take me to watch some American Gangster DVDs and stuff. They'll slip somebody in. And it's, oh, yeah, I said, no, rewind the tape. Listen to what he said. He was around such and such. Listen to the words and terms. Like, a lot of times people that term sellout is overused in our community. It's overused. It's overused. Can't say, dude, someone was Deshaun. No, this dude been consistent with his position all the time. He gets such an arrogance about it. He say he's not tripping about the fact that he was exposed.
quote unquote reality shows that you think the all the attacks going on in our community, we should be worried about how much weight he done lost.
Right.
Man, that's a war going on in our people, man. We getting knocked off. We getting killed. We being whacked. Every on a day to day basis. And we gotta call it what it is. I know I kind of went over on that one question, brother. Man, it is what it is. If you can bear with me, I get one more call, and I got to go show my face again to the sister's father and to her family. Repass one more time, and, you know what I'm saying, and to these young brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying, because they on the verge of coming to grips with a lot of things, you know what I'm saying. And when I leave them, they being bombarded with some other propaganda. Soon as I leave them, they got somebody coming in telling them, well, yeah, you know, well, this is what he said. And they'll twist around. They'll take exactly what I said, and they'll twist it around. And then other people say, well, you know, they put what we call these intellectual monkeys. Mm-hmm. They put these intellectual monkeys over there, and they're very articulate. They're very articulate. They got what Chairman Fred said, they got more degrees than the thermometer, but keep walking through gum at the same time. So I got these youngsters at a stage right now where I don't want to leave them at. You know what I'm saying? They combat liberalism. They say they come to grips. See, what was one of the uniqueness about the Black Panther Party? It was a generation. Then what Chairman Fred said about Larry Roberson of the Black Panther Party was assassinated July 1969. He said Larry Roberson kept us his mom, his uncle, whoever it was. He said, I'm committed to serve the people. And the people have to come to grips. We don't care who it is. This is Chicago. Let the record reflect. In Chicago, this is the rest haven for so many organizations. this is the head. A lot of people say, well, how do you get all these headquarters and all this madness happening?
Right.
That's what they'll say. How do you get all these organizations that can talk about Bush and all these abstract away, but they're not such day. Talk about the Teflon Don daily.
That's right.
And see, these gatekeepers have been historically utilized to stop the masses from addressing certain issues. And a lot of people respect that. They say, well, man, you know, we don't disagree with black folks in public. We'll tell you how we get out. Act like white folks in public. We'll treat you as so. We don't care who you is. When they come in, we told Senator James Meeks, when he get up there in that church pulpit, and his capacity as a senator and a reverend, and we referred to them young babies on Sunday nights in Aspen as urban terrorists. That was us coming up in that Sunday morning. Say, we'll tell you one time only, man. You can give all the Jim Jones juice you want to these grown folks. When it comes to these babies out here, man, it comes in them streets, come to the office, back up off them babies.
That's right.
There's some clarity right here. Now, I'm telling you, we told Russell Simmons and the rest of them Pied Pipers when they came up in the city of Chicago. We had the Hip Hop Summit. That was us. They rolled down up on it. Yeah, that was us. That was the cause that called the question amongst other organizations. Principal Coalition said, look here, man, in this city here, man, we're going to address what's going on with our babies. So he called the usual suspects, the famous names, the ones that a lot of people don't disagree with in public. They pulled up. He told man, did this here. They don't speak for us, man. It's a structure here. You can't say they don't speak for us. We had a policy that distinguishes our cousin from our comrades.
Yes, sir.
We hold them accountable. So, man, we up to ante. We say, man, the African that terrorist is there. And people's calling me crying the blues. Oh, y'all should do that. He next 2 days later, he was on BET talking about the prisoners. And out of his own mouth, he said, that's right. This is Russell Simmons. He said, Jam Master Jay, the same week Jam Master Jay was killed, there were 17 people killed by the police and there was no mention. And what made him say something like that? Did he get some sort of enlightenment? Did he get a vision? No, a criminal psychologist said behavior is affected by consequences, man.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Brother Fred, what you basically laid out is what Malcolm said, we got some field niggas and we got some house niggas, and there's still a lot of house niggas running around here, man.
Man. And the days of straddling the fence and we don't know this and that. No, that's a wrap on that. You know what I'm saying? Listen to people. A lot of people talk. I said, man, listen to the words. People tell you what they own. It's like a relationship. Like some little sick young girl in the house. Well, he really liked me or she really liked me, and she tells you see her with her boyfriend or you see her with his girlfriend.
Well, see, you gotta watch how they got a code word. They really mean me when they say that song. That song is directed to me. You gotta start questioning a lot of people's sanity. So you gotta wait till his next term. You gonna give a code word. See how they won't? You mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a code word. But you can get up at the Democratic National Convention, and you can mention and recognize every other genre, every other entity, every other people, every other community. But don't mention black folks in public. What type of message you think that's in any entertainer, anybody in that community, that you scared to acknowledge us in public? You wouldn't go for that with your woman. Or a woman would go for that with that guy.
That's right.
Come on.
Right.
We're going to do this and that. I can't acknowledge you in public. I get what you're the next term come around. Or I get a cold word I'm saying. Man, be for real. And so, back to the brother's last question. Cause let's start being very clear and consistently being clear on this term we. And it's not no absolute. It's not no absolute. Don't you know what I'm saying? There's some cats that you might get a clench fist from me at one stage in the game.
Exactly.
But you gotta believe when all cats the University of Chicago or any other entity raise them up in some called put them out their league and raise them up some sort of so man, we gonna call it a question, man. We don't care who it is. Well, you know this such and such. They used to be this and all that. Man, listen here. And like, you showing me some picture of somebody with some clothes on back, you know what I'm saying, 30 years ago tomorrow. That was some sharp clothes he had on back then, yeah. You know, it ain't sharp now.
Joe,
they ain't sharp now. You have put stuff in context and conditions. Man, we are armed with a philosophical tool of dialectical materialism for every development, man.
We just talked about Russell Simmons in our earlier show. You know, we was talking about Chuck being Public Enemy and Flavor Flav and how the Jews came in and shut down Public Enemy. We don't even hear from Chuck B that much no more. Then they take Flavor Flav and make him some kind of love machine, give him the number one show in the world and put all these silly women around him, worshiping him. Man, this is a clown show, man. It's so messy, man. I'm so glad that your favorite word is let's be clear.
Man, I tell people, we don't have confusion. We don't have confusion. We're walking on pit bull fights with no poodles. Tomorrow we don't know what happened. We clear. Okay, well, man, we clear. All this, well, man, I can't believe. So people talking about, man, I can't believe O.J. Simpson sold out. Sold out? Where this come from? Oh, we don't have disappointments. Because a lot of times, you look at cat's history. And you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, this is one of the tactics. I also want to point this out. This is one of the tactics. Even with this quote-unquote conscious music thing, you know what I'm saying? They have bombarded our people so much with so much misogyny and disrespect that a lot of cats are just open for somebody who didn't call them a nigger or a bee. It was like, oh, they revolutionaries. Come on, man, do this here. That good cop, bad cop theory is, you know what I'm saying, when the police beat you down and one come in with a can of pop, you think he your friend? We ain't up with that.
Right.
We ain't bombarded. They just, our community's so bad, and we just, and without nothing being done, cats used to ask me, it's like when I was locked up in one of the camps. Not the prisons, the concentration camps. Yeah, I said it. When I was one of the concentration camps, I first get down there, Big Muddy River, we call it Big Bloody River. When I first get down there, everybody told me, man, Chairman, you know Zest? I said, no, who's that? The brother with the long beard who be saying, As-salamu alaykum. I said, okay, what do we be doing? You know, the brother be saying, As-salamu alaykum. I said, what about him? The bar had been lowered to the point just because he said that he was this hell of a cat. They negated the fact that he was meeting with the ward every day. So we didn't attack him. What we did was we do what we do. I'm not going to trip back and forth with these things, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell kids, I don't have beefs and all that type of stuff. We're going to do what we do. We expose the contradictions. So at the time, the warden, Mary Hardy Hall, who was a front piece for the Major Holmes and them, I'm flashbacking, so that's why you guys sticking my mind like that. They came through and they took this and they gave him his own, they created an organization to contend with us. They provide him with more fruit. You can go out. You can get more free movement if you came to Zest's meetings. To stay. Then the Lieutenant Gamble came out and brought a leader from one of the street organizations, brought him down in a helicopter, and told him, tell your members they cannot associate with Mr. Hampton. See, let us know if you knew that prisoners are microcosms outside community. That's what we're dealing with on these streets right here today.
That's right.
The way they get out the Black Panther Party clubs is doing not because of the lack of work ethic that we got. It's because we are being outfunded, out-resourced. At close, I got to go. I want to say, man, www.chairmanfredjr.blogspot.com. Don't wait till it becomes safe to talk about us. Don't wait till we become a safe subject. I'm telling you, these people have put contracts on my head. I'm talking University of Chicago has put contracts on my head. Now, we ain't scared. We ain't tripping. We want the record to reflect. This is what we're doing, and it's a price to cover what we're doing.
We're coming to see you, Brother Fred.
Hey, for the world out loud and clear, August 30th, we're going to be there. We're going to be live in every room in the streets. Channel 4 Street Party, it's like we're going to be there, man. We're going to be talking about so many things. We're going to talk about knowledge, case of all political prison. We're going to talk about who really created Chirac and so many other things. I want to thank y'all for giving me this time to touch bases. Look forward, you know what I'm saying, to future dialogue. But I got to go before these young brothers and sisters, before they start breaking up and all the things. I got to go greet them one more time and drop this little more politics on them because they're calling and said, well, my ride to come pick me up real quick now. But I want to express my regrets to. I know it's probably some callers online. Thank the ones who called in. Again, thank the callers who called in, and thank the people in general for allowing us to serve such a beautiful people.
That's right.
We love you, Brother Fred. We're coming to stand side by side.
Right on.
Brother.
Yes, sir. Free them all. Power to people. Yes, sir.
Free them all. Power to people. Black power, brother. All right. Yes, sir, brothers and sisters, that was Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr., and we certainly appreciate his words, his fire, his passion, and we, of course, give support. Brother Chairman, you got any closing words, sir, any parting words?
Brother, there ain't much you can say after what Brother Fred just said. You can leave that alone and let the people marinate on it, right? Black power.
Yes, sir, black power. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to again encourage you to tell people about this broadcast. As you know that you will never hear any other broadcast like this, make sure that you support the efforts of our national chairman, Minister Hashim and Zinger, and the New Black Panther Party, and give us a call for those who are ready to register with the organization and help the program. Call us at 347-903-0886. That's 347-903-0886. Go to the website, newblackpanther.com. Drop us a line. Let us know what you thought about tonight's broadcast, both of them, with Brother Life Jennings and Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. at New Black Panther headquarters at gmail.com. It's been our honor and privilege to be with you tonight, as we do every Monday night. We ask that you marinate on the words, but more importantly, activate on the words in your community. Let's make a difference, and let's turn the condition of our people around through agitation and agitation and self-defense of our people. Let's organize. And so, brothers and sisters, remember, it's black power for black people. It's power to the people. And remember, I'm telling you that if black people are not free, there is nobody that's free. Black power. Signing off.
As it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. Who denies us the future? Rob our name, kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me, cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me. Wallace for freedom, education, equality never gave me nothing but slavery, and now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold, with this scuffle of knowledge of the lies it told. Promise me emancipation, and this new name. All you ever gave my people was salvation. Fathers of this country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. That-